Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Lutheran Mission is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a suburb of southeastern London. Also serve the Raynham Mission down in the Medway towns, and encourage you, if you live in the area, to come by and pay us a visit. And if you're looking for a Lutheran church close to where you live, go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, find the congregation that's nearest to you, and go pay them a visit. I'd encourage you to do that. I'd also like to thank you for your prayers and for your financial support. That's what keeps us on the air and keeps us sharing the love of Christ around the world. Again, you can download our app at Google Play, the App Store, or the Windows Store. Take us with you wherever you go. Today, we'd like to welcome Roger Zeger. He is the Missions Director for the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany, the ZELC, and we're going to be discussing missions with Reverend Zeger. Roger, welcome to Lutheran Radio UK.
Pleasure to be there.
Where did your interest in mission begin?
Well, actually, when I started my studies, I wanted to be a missionary. Didn't come that way, and I went into the ministry. But I started my ministry already as a pastor to migrants from Russia, which was kind of a mission congregation, very small congregation. When I ended my ministry there 21 years later, 90% of my members had a migration background.
And when people think of Lutheranism and Lutherans, we tend not to think of mission. Is that a fair assumption or a fair reading of it?
See, it is a fact that some contemporaries of Luther and later Lutherans during the first centuries had the idea that the whole world, having been discovered, you know, that the Americas had been discovered just before that, so that the gospel, in a way, had spread over the whole of the known world, that what is said in Matthew had come to an end in a way. So everyone had heard the gospel. And they said, well, if they heard it, and if it had been preached to them, there's no further need to go out because they know it's there. But Luther was a different opinion, because he believed in the self-efficiency of the word, no question about that, but of course he knew about the Muslims and other people, so he still thought that there should be mission.
All right, Roger, so then let's skip ahead a little bit. How did the Lutheran Church become involved in missions, and what was its impetus?
I mean, you probably know that most of the missionaries the English sent out, the Brits sent out, or you sent out in a way, came from the continent. They were Danish or they were German, lots of them the Lutherans. Our own mission society or mission movement started in the 19th century. It would be probably for some theological doctor or professor to tell you whether that was kind of influenced by the Pietist movement and so on, where people more and more thought to see the importance of personal decision. Anyway, there has been a big awakening in the northern part of Germany, done by a pastor by the name of Louis Harms. Now, Louis Harms not only started a big awakening in the north of Germany with the German people, he also very strongly saw the need for a foreign mission, because he thought, and of course he was right about that, that other people needed to hear about the gospel. So he founded, it's probably the wrong word, but he founded a mission society that originally was supposed to send people to Kenya, Tanzania, that area. And the people he sent out, he would send out missionary and settlers together. They tried to get to the proposed area in Africa, but then when they went to get the permission to land by the Sultan of Zanzibar, sounds like 1001 Nights, well, it's true, they weren't allowed to go where they wanted to go. So they went to South Africa, KwaZulu-Natal, that area. That mission society there split up when the split between the state churches and the independent churches in Germany happened in the 19th century, or not exactly at the same time, but it's kind of a causation down there. And that's 125 years ago as far as the foundation of our mission society is.
And can you tell us about the mission society then that you serve?
Yeah, I can. Thanks for the question. When the split up happened, our part of the mission went about 12 kilometers from the former headquarters in Hammondsburg to Blackmore, very small town. It's not a town, it's a hamlet at best in Germany. And congregations in Southern Africa went with us, or actually it was kind of the other way around. They asked the then pastor in Blackmore whether they could be supported from that site. So that's where we started our work. We mainly worked for a long time in what's now South Africa, but we also sent missionaries to Brazil. Now we've got work in Mozambique. We did work in Botswana, and we tried to start work in DCA, in Congo.
And when we hear the word mission today, it means so many things to so many different people. What do you mean by that term mission?
Yeah, that's very interesting. I mean, I don't know whether you or any of the hearers are aware of the word mission paradigms. Mission paradigms, of course, changed a lot over the site, over the time. And with the paradigms, also the idea of what a missionary is changed for certain. If you go, for example, for the mission paradigm during the Middle Ages, you could find that in the book of David Bosch. And he would say the mission paradigm then was cogito ergo, which means like make them enter, even by force. And there are different other paradigms, and of course, in adherence to the paradigms, different ways of doing mission. If you look at the Orthodox Church, they've got a strong stress on the Missio Dei, which of course we believe in too. We would always say, as Lutherans, that mission is not something which people do, but the first step of mission is the mission of God into the world. And what we do as missionaries is to proclaim that mission into the world. So by being the target of God's mission, we are taken into God's mission, and we proclaim God's mission into the world. It is not today what you might have. If people close their eyes and they think about a missionary, they might see a cauldron and some black people who are not too well clothed. The missionary may be inside the cauldron, but it's in a way still the 19th century picture of a white missionary bringing the religion to the people in the South, in Africa, in India, wheresoever. And it is probably, in a way, a bit colonialistic, the picture. And, of course, it is true as for a long time for the way how mission was done, because with the missionary always civilization came along and people were educated in the proper way to be. That is by no means the way mission is done nowadays and how we understand mission nowadays. Firstly of all, because there are more Christians down in these southern countries than up here. I mean, if I went out of the door right now, I'm living in Berlin-Spandau, and we would make a count of the Christians whom I see during the first 10 minutes I walk around. I mean, if I had the chance to talk to people, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Christ? And if I did the same thing in Durban in South Africa, or in Pietermaritzburg, or in Rio de Janeiro in Brazil, or wherever, I would probably encounter a very much larger percentage of Christians in these countries than I would here. So that's a big change for starters.
And again, this is the argument I hear between a lot of people, is that...
that's why we don't need to do any mission any longer, right?
Yeah. Either that, or the reason we do mission work is to, you know, as you mentioned, to impose our mores of society upon them.
Yeah, and therefore, let me answer the second one first. Mm-hmm. I did a PhD course in St. Louis, and we were sitting in that course on missiology with probably 9 to 10 white Northern American or Northern European or Eastern European people, and one guy from India. And for the first 4 days, all us whiteys kind of minced around the hot thing like a cat, because we had this subconscious bad conscience, I think. Because we are brought up in a tolerant society where you can't say that one thing is more worse than the other and so on. But finally, that bloke, he just blew it. And he said, stop mincing around. If your forefathers or the missionaries hadn't come to my country in southern India, I would still be sitting like 10 meters away from the well, not being allowed to get any water there because I'm from a low caste. When Christianity goes somewhere, when mission goes somewhere, it is the mission of God, and the mission of God is to free people from everything which that captures them within this world. So our message, what we tell people, is not that they've got to adhere to Western standards of clothing or behavior, but that they may be free from everything that keeps them within this world. For example, in Mozambique, we've started work in Mozambique, our mission society, like 3 years ago, but our Canadian sister church and the Brazilian sister church, who began that, started about 8 years ago. And I asked people there when I was there 2 years ago about their religion or how they would run things down there. Because of the Civil War, the Roman Catholic structure that had been there has been practically destroyed in that province. It's the Sena province of Mozambique. And what they explained to me is, if you dig a well and you really wanted to have a good water, you've got to make a sacrifice, like an oxen or a goat. And whatever the business is that you want to undertake, if it's a big business, you need a big sacrifice. If it's a small business, you need a small sacrifice. So what they are doing down there is something that I would have thought is out of the books from the 19th, 17th century. And the message of Christianity not only frees them spiritually, but it frees them practically from these obligations which do not exist. It frees them from people who tell them that if you don't do that, I'll jinx you, or I'll cast a curse upon you, and so on and so on. It's I didn't believe that things like that still existed.
Now, another argument that I hear is the people in Africa or in Asia, Muslim countries, they're doing just fine with those religions, like the animism that you were just describing. How does a mission approach deal with those kind of arguments?
Well, actually, they don't. That's what I tried to argue when I brought the example of Mozambique. They don't do good with what they are doing. And anyway, I'd say they have to have a choice.
And how does our mission approach affect that choice? How can we go about witnessing to people in these situations?
Well, Mozambique, what we do is we teach. We teach indigenous people who are working there as pastors. We did a course over 5 years, ordained 8 pastors. The second course has got 28 people. And what they do is they work their farms in their free time or spare time. They preach and tell people about the Bible. In 1.5 years, they founded more than 30 congregations, and not because they went to places and told them, listen up, guys, what you thought until now is just plain dumb and wrong, listen to me, but because they get visits from villages around who come and say, we've heard that you are preaching the gospel, a new message. Please come to our place and preach here too. In Germany, for example, we're doing mission in Germany too. We are doing what you'd call social work. For example, we had a mission in Berlin-Marzahn where we give out, or gave out then, because it went to the church now, up to 200,000 parcels with food over a year. And people got the chance to get this food for free. And as we always needed people who worked there, we took people in working, giving out the food. Those people mostly were not from the congregation that was there, but there was always a connection between the congregation and the place where we gave out the food. So you had a movement from the congregation, which listening to the command of Jesus to go out and be Christians, do the mission work. It went to the place where the food was given out. Some of the people who were giving out the food were also members of the congregation, but very few. And over this place, we reached a lot of people that would never have come to church. But those people who came to the place, body and church, body and soul, I'd say about 5% of them got also interested in the work of the church. So you got a movement into the other direction, from the outskirts to body and soul to the congregation. Does it explain anything?
It does. So again, you're looking at how we can equip our members to share the gospel through word, through deed with their neighbors so that the interest might be stirred up in the neighbors. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the stress that I would want to make is there are, of course, professional missionaries. That's true, and we really need them, like we need professional pastors. But one of the big things is that mission can't be delegated. Every Christian is a mission because with him, Christ enters the world. I know that the Word was incarnate in Christ and so on, John, Gospel. But in a way, Christians incarnate Christ into the world by going into the world. One of the problems of our church is, I'd say, that although we've got the full riches and everything, I mean, we've got word and sacrament. There isn't anything more in this world. But it just enters into the church room. What happens when you leave the church? Of course, all the people of the world could hear God's word. They could read it. I mean, it's not just Luther who translated the Bible. They could read it, and then they could show up in church, get baptized, and get the sacraments. But this is not what happens. People outside our churches do not hear the word because it is not preached, and because even if it is, I mean, you've got all these advertisements in Germany in buses and subways and at the roadsides, God loves you. Yeah, but the people do have to feel the love of God in order to trust. For me, an example for that is always the women who come to the grave of Christ and the apostles. The angel, the young man, tells the women, he's not here, he is risen. And then they flee the grave and they are still in shock. They are frightened until they meet Christ. And then they believe. And then they walk up to the apostles and they tell them, you won't believe what we saw. Stop weeping. Christ is risen. He's there. And they don't believe it. Until they see him, think of Thomas, until they see him and they feel him. Of course, people nowadays, I mean, he still is coming to people, but most people won't have an epiphany, not Christ entering their room, their living room, or meeting them in the subway. But what they do every day is meet a Christian. So one of the most forceful ways to missionize or to proclaim the gospel into the world is living as a Christian.
The response I get from many of my members is, how do I do that? I'm scared. It puts me in a kind of a tough situation. What if they ask me a question I don't have an answer for, or they point out my sins,
right,
and they're right?
How
can we help our folks become better witnesses?
Yeah. You know, I think it's not about answering and preaching. I think it's about being. You've probably learned something about communication theory. In every speech or in an act of communication, it's 10% words, it's 90% emotions, gestures, and so on and so on. So by just acting as the Lord told us to act, I think we do a pretty good sermon. I'm now talking about the term everyday Christian, not about a missionary. The missionary has to act that way too, but he's got to preach too.
You're talking about the person in the pew.
Yeah.
And that person in the pew is surrounded by all kinds of friends and neighbors, probably even family,
yeah,
who don't believe. Can you give them some helpful hints or some good advice on how they can actually share in real practical ways the gospel with these people?
Well, by doing what Jesus told us to do, by loving our neighbors and living a faithful life, and by not looking down on people. I've got all these questions of people who say, well, we want to do mission. We need a workshop. But actually, I've never experienced a good thing coming out of a workshop, because after the workshop, people will say, we've got to learn this and that, and it's still not action.
Not genuine action.
No. It's like learning a salesman's trick. And people are very astute in recognizing if your interest in them is just because you want to sell them something. And if I'm looking at how people entered my congregation during the 21 years where I was a pastor working with migrants, it was mostly through word of mouth from other members or new members of the congregation who said, well, come here. Here is a group that will listen to your needs, not make false promises, and try to help you.
One hungry person telling another hungry person where to go to get food.
That's it.
Now, we're talking about mission past and present, but where do you see the future? What's going to happen in the future with missions?
I think mission has to be a worldwide phenomenon, not north to south, and not either, what some people say nowadays, south to north. The mission of the church has to go from the churches everywhere where there are people who are in need of the world of God, of the word of God, which is everywhere. And doesn't matter whether the name of the place is Coventry or Germany or Africa or Asia. There are, however, differences in, pardon my English, but how easy mission is. In Northern Europe, mission has become very much more difficult in our post-religious society. So it's a hard work. And in Northern, whilst in Africa, if you tell people, I want to preach about my God, they'll listen. Well, try that in Germany, or I suppose in England too. People just won't listen. So it is probably a lot more about acting, I mean, not play acting, I mean, about doing things in the Northern Hemisphere than it is in the Southern Hemisphere. But for me, there's no question about the fact that the mission of God may not stop before Christ himself returns.
And is that a driving factor in our mission, the imminent return of Jesus?
It is, because he told us that he wants all the people to hear about the chances or the good that Christ brought to mankind. And we've got to do that. It's not of our own volition. It's not a question whether we want to do it or not. We have to do it.
With that in mind, then, can you tell us a little bit about your role as the missions director of the ZELC?
In 1972, our society, our Texas Ant Mission Society, became part of the SELK structure. That is the year, too, where different independent churches in Germany joined up for the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. And from that time on, the director of missions is the only employee of the mission that is paid for by the church. So that's my position. And what I'm doing is kind of like the work of a district president or a superintendent for the mission, meaning that I visit places, I look at the work of our missionaries, I'm talking to the leaders of the churches, be it our bishop or the bishop of the FELCISA or the LCSA in Africa, or the church leadership of the Brazilian church about where are their chances for mission work. For example, two years ago, we had a young missionary who was going to start his work. We went to Africa. The churches down there brought up, I think it was three projects where the missionary could go there, and we are looking for what are the goals of that project. Is there, in our opinion, a matching between the special needs down there and what our missionary can provide? And then we work out a contract between the congregation or the church there and our mission society, send a missionary for a period of probably 6 to 10 years down there or up here in Germany. And I'm the one to coordinate that work and to give the feedback or to report to the members of our society. The members of our society being the superintendents of the church, the bishop, and members from each district of our church. All in all, our annual members meeting has about, well, I'd say 40 members.
And you are doing work, as you say, worldwide, or potentially worldwide?
Well, potentially worldwide at the moment in South Africa, in Mozambique, in Brazil, and in Germany. And we've got missionaries. We've got social missionary working women, one in Brazil, one in South Africa. And we put a big stress on educating people in Africa. We are paying about 70,000 euros a year for the work at the Lutheran Seminary in Pretoria, adhering to a motto which we kind of thought about some years ago, in order to educate people from Africa, in Africa, for Africa. Through negotiations with the University of Pretoria, and because one of the professors from Germany, Professor Dr. Habil Klein, has got an extraordinary professorship at the University of Pretoria now, we are able to educate people from the ground scratches up to a PhD in Africa, which is an important new thing. I mean, you'll imagine that. Because people from South Africa, and I'm mainly talking black people now, or people from Uganda or wherever, everywhere south of the Sahara, now got the chance to be educated in Africa without having to leave for America or Europe. Mostly it was America. And that is a real step forward. Because when people came back from America, they always had the odor of having foreign allegiances.
Well, again, we'd like to thank you, Roger, for being our guest on the Lutheran Inquisitor. And we pray God's richest blessings upon you, upon your work as missions director of the ZELK, and upon our dearest brothers and sisters in Christ in Germany. And we look forward to seeing you again in the very near future.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.